coming up on All Access.
Big win, fellas. That's what we need. We take care of our house. That's what we talked about coming in, right? That's what we talked about. We got a lot more football left, all right?
Brady back to throw. Pump fakes right. Comes back left. Touchdown. Brady to Wes Welker. And handoff comes to the left side to Stephen Ridley. He's across the 25-yard line on his feet across the 30-35.
My first impression of Daniel was he's got a lot of athletic ability and he's just beginning. That's when I thought to myself, this isn't the last this you're going to see of him.
Well, they've got good players. They're well coached. They're aggressive. They're fast. They're a very good team in their building. And so it'll be a big challenge for us to go out there and you know, play well Sunday.
Kevin's one of the greatest teammates I've ever had. He's everything you look for in a teammate and player and friend.
You're our hero, Kevin.
Two in a row, look at them go. The Patriots fast break their way to victory, and because of that, are in first place in the AFC East. Welcome to Patriots All Access, everyone. I'm Steve Burton. They'll try to make it three in a row, but it will not be easy as New England travels across the country to play the upstart Seattle Seahawks. Before we preview that game, let's look back at the sights and sounds from the win over Denver.
The sights and sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the Patriots.
Hi, Sebastian. Hi, Pete. Let's keep it going, huh?
Okay. Monday, fun day. Monday, fun day, baby.
Rainy day. Lake Oregon weather.
We got to play great at home. This is our place. We got to defend it. Let's go.
We're a full game today. We ain't put 60 minutes together the whole year. Let's do it today.
Takes the snap, back to throw, looking left, firing left, and it is caught downfield. Drop, picked up by the Patriots, and coming out of bounds on the near side.
Defend the inside part of the field. It's the post, it's the in cut. They throw it in a flat they haven't gained any yards on, and haven't gained any yards running the ball inside. Okay? Defend the inside part of the field.
Brady back to throw, pump fakes right, comes back left, touchdown, Brady to Wes Welker.
Great job. Good job, Tommy.
Come in. We're going to keep the tempo going.
He's got it, back comes, fires over the middle, it is caught down and in for a touchdown.
Uh-oh, they called him down, Gil, he's short of the touchdown.
Hand off to Vereen to the left, into the end zone, standing up, touchdown.
We gotta keep going now, let's go.
And handoff comes to the left side to Stephen Ridley. He's across the 25-yard line on his feet, across the 30, 35, down the left sideline and out of bounds.
You gotta go out there, you gotta stay ahead of them on down and distance. You gotta have good, positive plays every time. You go out there and hold on to the football for a while, okay?
An inside handoff to McGahee, bursts it up the middle, down inside the 10, fumble on the play, ball on the ground, Patriots recover. Snap to Brady, stands in, fires up the field, diving catch, first down, Wesley Welker.
Nice job. Y'all competed them. That's a pretty good football team now.
All right, look, I'm just telling you, enjoy this one. Enjoy it tonight. You can enjoy it tomorrow morning.
We're going to start on Seattle tomorrow. Yeah. All right? I'm telling you, we're starting on Seattle tomorrow. This is going to be tough out there. I'm going to tell you that right now. Okay? All right.
Big win, fellas. That's what we need. We take care of our house. That's what we talked about coming in, right? That's what we talked about. We got a lot more football left, all right? We got a big one this week. Let's enjoy this. We'll see you tomorrow, all right? Team on three. One, two, three!
Today's Coffee with the Coach is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time to sit down with the coach now. Coach Belichick joins me in. Another ho-hum affair when you play a Peyton Manning-led team. Those are fun to get ready for that week, right, as a coach, going against that guy?
Yeah, it's always a tough week. They do a great job, and Peyton does a great job offensively of eventually finding the weaknesses defensively and exploiting them. And then when you try to cover those up, then he's on to something else. But hard-fought game. Fortunately, we were able to make enough plays to win, and it's good to beat Denver.
5 weeks in, it seems like you change week to week just a little bit offensively, but there's no huddle, and then there's what you guys ran last week, a little bit of Paul Westhood, Loyola Marymount, fast break. Is that what we were watching?
Well, we were at a good tempo, and I felt like our players handled it well. Our guys work hard all season, but particularly during the week in their conditioning and being able to run a lot of plays without a lot of break in between and still execute them well. So that was good, and then defensively we were able to turn the ball over and get some stops when we needed to, and so that was good team victory. We got contributions from all three units.
Well, talking about the conditioning part of it, when you watch you operate efficiently like that on offense, you could see the defense that you're playing against get tired at times. You see the hands go on the hips. Do you have to watch the offense for guys to maybe tire out? I know you just said you practice it, but you have the ability, you have depth where you have multiple personnel groups. Does that help the influx of guys every single play change that for you?
Well, I think we got to be aware of it, and I think certainly Tom's aware of it on the field, and I think if we were to get to that point where we felt like we just were out of gas, then it would be better for us to go into a huddle, make sure that we're able to come out and run the play properly and get a high level of execution on it. But I'd say for the most part, that really hasn't been an issue. Like I said, our guys work hard during the week and of course in the whole off-season conditioning and training camp and all that, but particularly during the week in practice to keep up with their conditioning, and because they know that we're going to be in those situations and they're prepared for them.
All right, thanks a lot, Coach. Coach will be back later in the show, but first, more of All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
We follow Daniel Fell's path to the NFL.
Always had a work ethic, second to none.
Do you know the two NFL cities that Tom Brady has never played in? We'll answer that question. But first, we sit down with Danny Woodhead.
When there's 11 guys on the same page, there's a chance for a successful play, and it ended up being a little bit successful.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, celebrating 75 years of service to their clients. By Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Do we have a second
donation?
Who said cleaning up couldn't be fun? The Patriots teamed up with members of the Hope Lodge Center, part of the American Cancer Society, to clean their transportation vans.
I've always said that, we have an obligation because of the blessing that we have to be a part of something special like the NFL to give back. It's exciting, it's fun. You get to meet different people that from different walks of life, and it really makes you appreciate things and puts things in perspective.
It was all a part of the Patriots' commitment to celebrate volunteerism.
It's always good to give back and just show the fans that we're not just, guys out there hitting people and just scoring touchdowns. Like, we have a heart and we want to help people.
Yeah! Welcome back to All Access. As Coach Belichick said in our last segment, there's not a whole lot of time to celebrate because he knows his team has a huge challenge in front of them this week. With more on the Patriots, here's Dan Roach.
Quarterback sneak, Brady, and he is in! Touchdown!
The Patriots have been mighty impressive for the past six quarters, as the offense has put up an amazing 73 points, 10 touchdowns, and 802 yards. That, again, in only six quarters. And as for the key?
I think starting fast. it's always key for us. You know, we start fast. A lot of positive things happen.
Meanwhile, the Patriots' defense has forced 9 turnovers in their last 2 games as they continue to create opportunities for the offense.
Anytime the defense can get those turnovers and give our offense the ball, it's just going to help the team win.
The more you turn it over, the less likely you are to win. I think we've done a great job of getting the ball off the other team.
We got to start stringing them together.
And now, after 2 straight wins, they sit at 3-2 and get ready for their only West Coast trip of the season. And this team knows how important it is to strive for consistency in their game on a weekly basis.
For us, you know, we can't take 2 steps forward and a step backwards every week. You know, we have to keep going and, you know, building on what we improved on with the previous weeks.
Meanwhile, this week's opponent, the 3-2 Seattle Seahawks, a team that is 2-0 at home, a team that brings the NFL's number one defense to the table, and in a stadium that will be very loud come Sunday afternoon.
It's always nice when you take 53 guys on the road and you say, this is all we got and this is all we need, and this is what we got to do, and see if, you know, 70,000 fans, you know, if you can, you know, keep them quiet or turn them on their own team. I think that's, you know, an exciting part for, you know, road teams, is see if you can get, you know, them booing their own players.
Protecting Tom Brady will once again be huge for the Pats come Sunday. Seattle has 16 sacks in its first 5 games, led by Chris Clemons and Bruce Irvin, who have combined for 10. That trails only Houston's dynamic duo of J.J. Watt and Antoine Smith, who have 10.5 to lead the NFL. From the CBS scene in Foxborough, for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
All right, Roachie, thank you very much. Joining me now is Patriot running back Danny Woodhead. And, Dan, I want to start by asking you this. I want to talk about the evolution of the offense, because you were here when the Patriots were spreading the ball around, and Brady loved doing that. Now it's a more balanced attack. Is it amazing how it's changed?
I think it's just the fact that the coaches are using us in different ways. They've always used us in different ways. And whatever the defense is going to give us or whatever they think is going to work, we're going to do.
What makes you more dangerous, catching the ball out of the backfield or running out of the backfield, just handing the ball off to you?
I don't know. I think that's something you'd have to ask defensive coach or something like that. But I like doing both. I like, you know, going out on routes. I like getting the ball, whatever it takes to, you know, get some yards.
Yeah, and you like picking up big yards. There's no question about that. Last week against the Denver Broncos, you had to play 3rd and 17. Okay, and they call your number. Mm-hmm. Okay, when they call your number, what are you thinking? Picking up the first down, or are you thinking, man, let me at least get 10 yards on this play? It's 3rd and 17, and you pick up 18 yards.
The first thing I'm thinking is that I'm getting the ball.
Okay.
So, I mean, let's make it simple to start. But, you know, I was just following my linemen, and, you know, the receivers and tight end got up to, you know, their blocks. And when there's 11 guys on the same page, there's a chance for a successful play, and it ended up being a little bit successful.
But be honest, are you thinking you can actually pick up the first down on 3rd and 17?
Why not? You know, uh-huh. I got 10 other guys out there that, you know, are working their tail off and doing their job, and we trust each other to do our job, and they did, and I just had the running part. They did the blocking, and I ran the ball.
Talk about the weapons in the backfield that you have. Ridley, yourself, Vereen. These guys, and how are you guys gelling all together?
We got a very close knit group in that room with Coach Fears, and you know,
I don't want to leave on Bolden for that.
Yeah, we got a very, very selfless group of guys. If someone makes a big play, the 3 guys that are going to be there are the other 3 backs, and that's how it should be. We support each other, and you know, we're very happy for each other when we do well.
All right, my man. Good luck this week against the Seattle Seahawks.
Thank you very much.
Danny Woodhead, our guest, will be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Pulled from the pages of Patriots Football Weekly is this interesting fact. There are only 2 NFL cities in which Tom Brady has never played. Seattle and San Francisco. He's played in every stadium except 2. CenturyLink Field and Candlestick Park, respectively. plus the new Cowboys Stadium outside Dallas, Texas, which opened after the Patriots last played the Cowboys on the road in 2007. For the most up-to-date Patriots analysis, check out the latest edition of Patriots Football Weekly.
Today's no-nonsense conversation with the coach is brought to you by SBLI, Teddy Bruschi's choice for life insurance. Visit SBLI.com for a free quote.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Coach rejoins me now and talk about a team we don't know a lot about, the Seattle Seahawks. Right after the game, I heard you say, enjoy it for a little bit, get in here tomorrow. We're getting ready for Seattle. It's almost like throw everything out the window that we had to study for Denver. We've got a team we don't know a lot about. Is that fair to say that ton of work to be done with Seattle?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. They're a very young team, one of the youngest teams in the league. We don't know the players. We haven't played them. We're not familiar with them. And we've got a lot of work to do in terms of knowing their personnel, knowing what the skills of their players are, knowing their schemes, and understanding how we have to play against Seattle, which will be a lot different than playing against really any other team we've played all year like this. So they have a very effective style. They've got good players. They're well coached. They're aggressive. They're fast. They're a very good team in their building. And so it'll be a big challenge for us to go out there and you know, play well Sunday.
A lot of football fans watch them undress the Packer offensive line. 8 sacks. Aaron Rodgers goes down. Fair to say that their defensive pass rush, that's what they rely the heaviest on?
Well, they have a good one, but I think when you look at the Dallas game, there's an opening kickoff. They get a strip on the opening kickoff, set up the offense in good field position, kick a field goal, hold them, go 3 and out, block a punt, touchdown, 10-0. So they make plays in all areas of the game. They have a lot of great players out there, and we're going to have to be ready to go all the way across the board. And I think that's the big challenge for our football team this week is to get to know a new team, new players, new schemes, and forget about Denver and get on to Seattle.
All right, sounds good, Coach. Time now for the Ace Ticket Twitter question of the week. Comes from @SohoSammy. You're going to get a lot of these starting now the more this no huddle progresses. Looking at the no huddle and with a lot of other teams using it, can you envision a day 5 years from now where the huddle will be like the dropkick, that teams won't even huddle on offense anymore?
I guess that's a possibility. You know, we've seen those things come and go before.
Saw the Wildcat.
Yeah. We saw the Wildcat. We saw the run and shoot offense. We've seen different versions of schemes, and some of them last, some of them fade in and out. But again, I think it comes back to the philosophy of the coach or the coordinator, whoever's calling the plays, however they're putting it together, and what advantages they feel like they can gain, and how those advantages help their team. So. Could it go that way? I mean, I suppose it could, but again, the no-huddle offense is nothing new. We see Johnny Unitas and Bart Starr run that.
Unitas' record, he did it back in that day, and finally Drew Brees broke it last week. So,
right.
Yeah, a lot of changes in the game. If you want to ask Coach a question, you got to follow us on Twitter, @Patriots, hashtag it, AskBB. You'll be back later with the Bellustrator. What are we going to look at?
Well, we'll look at Seattle, all three phases. They're good on offense, defense, special teams, so we'll take a look at all of it.
All right, sounds good. We'll be back later with the Bellustrator and those awful neon shoes for Seattle. But first, more All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
We take a look back at the career of Patriots great Kevin Faulk.
Touchdown! When you talk about a guy being a Patriot, prime example.
Plus, Bill Belichick introduces us to a Seattle Seahawks team that is on the rise out west.
Seattle's forced 11 fumbles in 5 games, so taking care of the ball is really going to be important for us.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Gillette Venus, proud supporter of breast cancer awareness. By Subway Restaurants, the new Tuscan Chicken Melt is here. And by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the New England Patriots.
Congratulations to Coach Ken LaChapelle of Northbridge High. He's this week's High School Coach of the Week, presented by Bob's Discount Furniture. LaChapelle became just the 3rd coach in Massachusetts high school football history to win 300 games. Presenting the award is Patriots Hall of Fame linebacker Andre Tippett. In honor of Coach LaChapelle, the Patriots Charitable Foundation will donate $1,000 to the Northbridge High School football program in the name of Ken LaChapelle. Congratulations on this historic achievement.
1, 2, 3! Yes!
This week's player profile is brought to you by Pepsi.
He's a member of the Patriots' 50th anniversary team and is the franchise leader in all-purpose and kick return yards. Kevin Faulk announced his retirement this week and was hailed by all, not only as one of the greatest players to ever wear a Patriot uniform, but as one who epitomizes the meaning of the Patriot way.
New England selects running back from LSU, Kevin Faulk.
Comes to Falk, bursts it up the middle across the 30. He's on his feet at the 35. He's at midfield. And a brilliant run by rookie Kevin Falk. Give to Falk, trying to come to the right. Gets through a hole at the 10, at the 5, and he's down and in. Touchdown, Kevin Falk. He's inside the 5 and in. Touchdown, Kevin Falk.
Kevin's one of the greatest teammates I've ever had. You know, he's everything you look for in a teammate, player, and friend.
Snap comes to Kevin Falk. It's a throwback to the left to Tom Brady. He's got it at the 30.
He was a mismatch, you know, at all times, and he was just an incredible player.
Wide open, caught by Falk, at the 5 and in, touchdown.
Running backs don't usually last 13 years in this league, especially running backs that we call modest height, 5'8", and around 200 pounds. You're our hero, Kevin.
I think he proved both time and again that he was going to make those plays when we needed him the most.
The ultimate team player, what a pleasure to coach, because he always put the team first, he always worked hard, and he always knew what to do. And the bigger the situation, the more critical the play, the better he played and the more you could count on.
It goes a direct snap to Kevin Falk, and he runs it in! Direct snap to Kevin Falk, and he ran it in!
It lets you know as a player that your job, the work that you've put in, the time that you were here, it was well received. It was well respected. They really love your effort and what you put into it.
K-Falk, you know what? He's probably one of the toughest individuals that I ever seen. I mean, you talk about blitz pickup just because of his size. I'm telling you, I don't think there's another guy out there that can pick up blitzes like him, especially the size that he was.
We played the Indy in 07, and he had a touchdown catch late there in the fourth quarter to get us over the hump. He caught a wheel route against Miami 2002 in overtime to help us win that game. In the Giant game in 07, the Week 16 game, he made a huge play on third down. And not a lot of people will probably remember, but I certainly do, because there's no way he should have gained whatever it was, 8 or 9 yards, but somehow he came up with it.
It's another big play by the big little man of the Patriots, Kevin Falk.
He didn't talk much.
I know it's hard, and I know we're in a hostile situation, but let's get our ass going.
When he did talk, everyone listened, coaches included.
Kevin Falk hits the 25-30, reaches across the 35-40. He's a little foot late from the 50, at the 45-40, 35-30. He's at the 25. He is going to go all the way. Kevin Falk, touchdown.
No one was more clutch than Kevin.
Fires to the left. It is a one-handed catch, going down and in for a touchdown. Kevin Falk.
His family is everything to him.
Their marriage will be blessed.
That's what defined Kevin. A family man, a happy father.
All day long.
But when you talk about a guy being a patriot, prime example. Prime example.
He waltzes into the end zone. Touchdown.
He's probably one of the best guys to ever meet in life when it comes down to it. Person, not just football player, but a great, great person. And that's what Kevin Falk is.
First impression of Daniel was He's got a lot of athletic ability, and he's just beginning. Always had a work ethic, second to none. And he always worked hard in the weight room, always worked hard in all the sports that he was in. He was, like I said, he not only played football, but he was a basketball player, baseball, he was a pitcher. He was their scholar athlete in every sport he played in. So, you know, I think of a great athlete, but I also think about the accomplishments he made in the classroom. One of the times that I remember, we were playing a game at La Habra High School. We were down by a touchdown with about 3 minutes to go. It was third long, and he made the catch right on the sideline with both feet in and got us a first down. We threw the ball 7 times in a row to Daniel because he, in that game, kind of took over. That's when I thought to myself, this isn't the last this you're going to see of him. We're all about hard work and making no excuses when we work hard. We're about building teams and building young men. I don't know that I have a lot of credit other than the fact that I had the great blessing of being able to coach him and his path to being an NFL starter. I hope that we were a little bit influential in the fact that we started him on hard work and, you know, it's become part of his core. You know, but the success, you know, again, comes from his drive to work hard and do well in all the things that he endeavors.
That was Daniel Fell's path to the NFL.
Time now for Turf, brought to you by Gillette Venus, proud supporter of breast cancer awareness. It's Breast Cancer Month. Great stuff by them. First of all, we're going to look at the Seattle Seahawks. Up front defensively, they are as active a group as we've seen.
Yeah, fast, rangy, not huge guys, but they get there quick.
Patriots have problems with teams like Baltimore, like the Giants, but here's what we're going to do. Here's the center
here's
we're going to
typical.
Show you.
Here's a normal stunt is.
We're the New York Giants, okay? Big guys, all hand-to-hand combat. We'll run little stunts like this up underneath.
But it's close together. It's like it happens quick, you know, because the guys are bigger.
Seattle gets wider. What they're going to do, they're going to 9-technique the outside guy, meaning here's the tackle. That guy's 2 yards outside the offensive tackle. I'm the nose tackle here. Boom, there's your snap. Here's your game. It's long. It's delayed. It's outside around the center, which means it's going to take a while to get to the quarterback. Now, I don't know if they're fast enough to get to Brady because Brady's going to be 1-2-3 and throw.
Well, you know, a guy who can get to him is their linebacker, Bruce Irvin, rookie out of West Virginia.
How do you handle that?
You're talking about a guy, listen, he's a rangy guy, plays in a bunch of different positions. He'll play with his hand on the ground. He'll center. He'll watch the back on the third down type of play.
So it's probably going to be Danny Woodhead.
You have to find a way. First of all, you have to find out where he's at. Because he's not going to line up with the same spot twice.
You say they move him around. Where do they put him? I'm the nose tackle.
He'll be in a hip position. He'll be right above the nose guard. Or his best position is right over there with his hand on the ground, just being the tackle one-on-one.
So let's remember who we're playing here. Seattle Seahawks, it's Pete Carroll. They're not really good on offense. You got Russell Wilson, a rookie quarterback. They've got to do something exotic, exceptional on defense. Get ready for them to be moving people all around. Here's the turf.
I'm Jackie Britton with our opponent news. The Patriots are back on the trail heading cross-country to take on the Seattle Seahawks. Pete Carroll has the Seahawks pumped and jacked and playing an aggressive ball-hawking style of football. And with the game in Seattle, they enjoy one of the biggest home field advantages in the league.
You know, Tom Brady is as good as you can get, and so it's an exciting opportunity for us. I feel a little bit like Felix Baumgartner, you know, kind of hanging on the edge of the capsule, you know, up there. You guys don't know who that is. You have no idea.
For the latest up-to-the-minute Patriots news, be sure to check out Brian Lowe and myself every day on Patriots Today. Nobody knows better the problems that the Seahawks pose than head coach Bill Belichick. It's time for the Belistrator.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now for the Belistrator, brought to you by Putnam Investments. And, Coach, you talked earlier in the show about all three phases, taking a look at special teams here with Seattle. What do we have?
Well, this is the opening play of the Dallas game. So, you know, I talk about setting the tempo on the game. This is Seattle's kickoff coverage unit, which is the best in the league. They lead the league in field position after kickoffs. And this is Michael Robinson, one of their key special teams guys, Pro Bowl fullback and special teams player last year, coming in here, causing the fumble, knocking the ball out. And that's Earl Thomas on the recovery. So they got the opening kickoff fumble here, kicked the field goal, went down, kicked off, got a three and out, block a punt. They're up 10-0. They're very explosive in a kicking game.
Recipe for disaster. Don't give them that short field at home to start a football game.
No, and take care of the football. You know, this is another turnover they had last week against Carolina. They're in the four-man rush, and this is Bruce Irvin, their first-round pick out here, a defensive end. He's very fast, does a good job of running around the outside, around the edges on the pass rush. But they also bring him inside. In this case, they bring him all the way around here. So he loops all the way around. Newton steps up, and there's Irvin with a strip sack there inside. And so, once again, the Seattle's forced 11 fumbles in five games. So, you know, they're forcing two a game. And taking care of the ball is really going to be important for us out there on Sunday.
All right, taking a look at them defensively here again. You know, they're very active up front.
Right, and this is Browner. Brandon Browner, he's a big corner, 6'4", 220, one of the biggest corners in the league. Very long, obviously, and a strong tackler. Here he is right here with the strip in the running game, pulls the ball out. So, you know, you can just see on these three plays how in the running game, the passing game, and even on kickoff coverage, Seattle is a very turnover-driven team. They do a good job of ripping the ball out.
He's a big guy. For people who don't know him, he looks a lot like Cromartie does for the Jets as far as his length.
Bigger. Yeah,
wow.
Bigger, heavier. Yeah, absolutely. Clemens, you know, number 91, is an outstanding pass rusher. This guy over the last 2 years has averaged almost a sack a game. He's had tremendous production out there. Of course, he had a big day against Green Bay. And as good of an edge rusher as he and Irvin are, a lot of times it's the up-and-under moves that get set up on those speed rushes where he comes in there and makes a sack. Another very productive player for Seattle. Good pass rusher, you know, guy we're going to have to do a good job on.
Boy, so they really bring that heat from the edge. You know, they won't only just come straight in. They loop guys around. You got your hands full up front.
They do. They're a very active front.
All right, on offense, it's got to be Marshawn Lynch, right?
Well, it's Marshawn Lynch, and that's the guy, of course, everybody's keying on. He does a great job in the running game. Hard guy to stop. And then, of course, that sets up their play-action pass. So here they fake it to Lynch, come back and find Golden Tate there on the post pattern. Wilson makes a perfect throw, and I think that's the kind of thing where Seattle they're patient, they run the ball, they bootleg it, they run their play-action passes, and then they, you know, kind of catch the defense.
It helps both guys get a free release, too. I mean, just right from the line of scrimmage.
Everybody comes up on the run, and then Tate and Sidney Rice, they just run right past them.
So there's the pass. Now what? We got the run here?
And this is an example in the Dallas game where, you know, Dallas blitzes. So they got a couple free guys here. Nobody blocks the end guy here on the line of scrimmage. So you'd think with three players unblocked that Seattle wouldn't be able to gain a lot of yards. But, again, this is Lynch. Good vision. He splits the blitz and comes out of there for a 35-yard gain. And, again, the offensive line for Seattle really does a good job. They're big. They're physical. They tie a lot of people up there on the line of scrimmage. Lynch doesn't need much space. You can barely see the hole here from the sideline, but he's able to squirt through it, and then excellent at breaking tackles, getting yards after contact. He's a strong physical runner, one of the best in the league.
Boy, he really looks for that daylight, too. It's not just north and south. He looks to get to that sideline.
He's very good there.
All right, return game for them?
Well, that's all about Leon Washington.
That's a guy that's been hurt, too, and it seems like he's still going. Remember him with the Jets?
Absolutely. We've seen him before. Yeah. He's a very explosive returner, 7 career touchdowns on kickoff returns, 2nd in NFL history behind Josh Cribbs. So, you know, really productive here. Runs hard and does a good job of breaking tackles. You see these guys try to arm tackle him here, and they get their hand on him, get a piece of him, and he's able to run through him. 75-yard kickoff return here against Arizona in the opener. This guy's got big returns every week. He's a strong runner with good vision. And gets a lot of positive yardage.
Last thing you want to do, young quarterback, give him great field position. Make him drive the football.
Absolutely.
All right, Coach, long trip, business trip. Good luck winning your third in a row.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you next week. There's your Bellis Trader. More of All Access right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments. celebrating 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bank of America, the official bank of the Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Hi, I'm Romeo. Big things doing this weekend on Totally Patriots.
Hi, I'm Shauna. In Pat's chat, we have Nate Ebner telling us about his transition from rugby to football.
I decided to walk on and play football, and, you know, the rest is history.
Plus, Shane Vereen tells us that it doesn't matter how old you get. Once a mama's boy, always a mama's boy.
My mama would kill me, and I wouldn't want to go there.
Join us Saturday morning, 10 a.m. on MyTV 38.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Time now for our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. And let's talk about, first things first, the offense and the pace of the game.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of no-huddle stuff. You know, Mike and I have watched this offense sort of evolve over the last several years. But I can't remember the actual pace being the way it was on Sunday, you know, when they're running plays 11 seconds apart, you know, 17 seconds. They're getting four, five, six plays off in a minute. It was really a lot of fun to watch. In a little bit different, and I thought it was interesting to hear them talk a little bit about watching some of the college game and adapting and changing. And I think it's a testament to Bill to have enough sort of security in what he's doing to not be afraid to take some different chances and some things that maybe some other guys wouldn't be secure enough to try.
Do you think it was faster this time around?
I do think it was faster, Steve. And I think when you think about how a team puts pressure on another team, usually it's the defense putting pressure on the offense. This was sort of the reverse. I like to call it an offensive blitz. It's so impressive to watch, and I think the key is the quarterback, Tom Brady. I mean, if it was so easy to execute, everyone would be doing it, but Brady is just a master at it.
All right, I want to talk about this running game for a second, because is it better than what we expected? Is this now becoming a smash-mouth football team, or am I putting too much emphasis on the run?
Well, I think it's better than we expected. It's better than I expected,
agreed.
I should say.
I'm
not sure it's necessarily the classic smash-mouth approach. I think what they're trying to do, and I thought it was interesting listening to Tom Brady talk about it after the game, is adjust to the personnel that they're seeing. And Tom said when they have those little guys out there, we better be able to run it. So I'm not sure they're necessarily lining up with, you know, three tight ends, a fullback, and saying, here we come. But what they're doing is they're getting you in your nickel package, and they're taking advantage of it. They're to be commended for that. They used to try to do this. 2 years ago, they tried to do this in the playoff game against the Jets, and they just couldn't get anywhere. Now they're running for 250 yards a week.
Yeah, I think the classic example of that was the Danny Woodhead run on 3rd and 17, and he got 18 yards on it. And if you looked at the personnel, I think the Broncos had seven defensive backs on the field. So building off what Paul said, you look at that matchup and say, we should be able to run off that. And they did run off that. The thing that stands out to me, Steve, is you have Tom Brady and you want to take your best shot. Every time you hand the ball off, it's one less shot you're giving Tom Brady to take. And I've often felt there was a reluctance from the coaching staff to maybe do that because you want your best player to have the ball in his hands.
But not this year.
I sort of like the fact that they maybe are willing to live with the results of taking the ball out of Brady's hands in some key situation.
Seattle's next, a team that's a pretty good football team. They're 3-2 as well. And here's a defense that can hit you. Okay, so they may not be able to run the ball like we expect them to run the ball. They may have to spread them out this week against
Seattle.
And
you wonder, and this is going to be an interesting matchup, because if they line up base defense, that they're allowing something like 65 yards a game on the ground. So you wouldn't think the Patriots would be able to just line up and bang their heads into that. In the past, you know, teams like Pittsburgh and Baltimore, they've sort of spread it out and chucked it around and gotten it out quickly, and that's how they've beaten it. But I wonder now if they're going to try to get Seattle into their nickel packages and get out of their base defense and then try to do what they've been doing. And it'll be interesting to see how that chess match works.
And you talk about spreading them out. That comes back to pass protection and can you set your protection with the noise out there, Steve? You know, of all the stadiums that I've been to me, I put Seattle actually number one in terms of noise. They really get into it out there. They put up on the scoreboard how many false starts they can actually draw because of their noise. The 12th man is what they call it out there. We don't know about it too much here because Patriots don't go out there that often, but I remember that vividly from 2008. It was the end of the year. They had, you know, they were out of it. It was Holmgren's last year, and the place was really loud, and I thought to myself, wow, this is sort of special.
Prediction time, what do you got?
Well, I do respect, as I said, the Seattle defense, so I don't think this is going to be a continuation of this, you know, 35, 40 points that we've been seeing. But I do think the Patriots have too much offense to just be completely shut down. You know, unless they go out there and play a really bad game where they turn the ball over, I think they get to about 24-13. I see the Patriots coming out with
Really, that should be enough, 24 points.
Yeah, I'm going to go 23-20 Patriots. I think one issue that maybe was able to be overlooked last week because they didn't need him was Steven Gostkowski, the kicker. Let's see how he handles maybe a little bit of a closer game when they might need him more in this one.
And under pressure with crowd noise.
Sure. Absolutely.
So you never know. All right, guys, thank you very much. Thanks, great job. Steve. That would do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everyone. See you later.